Frustration rises for neighbors of a medical waste incinerator in North Salt Lake. Jordan School District asks for a $495 million bond, and the Utah Public Service Commission is trying to find ways to improve air quality. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, August 8th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Activist groups and North Salt Lake residents are planning another protest of Stericycle, a medical waste incinerator accused of violating pollution limits and falsifying emission tests. The event on August 15th is being planned after state regulators gave the company a second extension to decide if it will challenge the allegations against them. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
It was May 28th when Stericycle was cited by the Utah Division of Air Quality for violating pollution and record-keeping standards. Between 2011 and 2013, a state investigation found the incinerator had exceeded its permit limits for hazardous air pollutants, including dioxin, furan, and nitrogen oxides. Stericycle was given an initial 30-day extension to challenge the allegations until July 26th, at which time they requested and were granted an additional extension until August 30th. The extension has made advocates like Bradley Angel, executive director of Green Action, upset.
Every day that this continues, this incinerator, located literally feet from where little kids live and play, is putting some of the most dangerous toxic pollutants known to science into the air, into people's backyards, into the lungs of little children in the North Salt Lake neighborhood and beyond. And that's unacceptable.
DAQ Director Bryce Bird says the extension allows the state more time to negotiate penalties and compel the company to impose stricter pollution controls. If Stericycle's attorneys decide to challenge the citations, Bird says, that will end discussions and start a legal process that could take months or even years. Stericycle demonstrated compliance with emissions limits in April, but has yet to present a plan on how it will prevent future violations. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Jordan School District is bursting at the seams. Schools there are growing at the rate of nearly two elementary schools a year. They're growing so fast that the Jordan School Board voted unanimously Tuesday for a bond measure that will make way for the construction of 11 new schools. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
After several months of gauging public interest, the Jordan School Board decided on a $495 million bond measure for voters to weigh this November. Sandy Riesgraf is a spokesperson for the district. She says with enrollment expected to increase by more than 29,000 students in the next decade, Jordan schools need to make some changes, and quick.
We are thrilled. We're excited to be part of a growing community, but with that growth comes responsibility on everybody's part, on the part of the cities we work with, on the part of the county, on the part of, you know, the citizens and the school district to find ways to house students.
The bond would pay for 8 new elementary schools, 2 new middle schools, and 1 new high school. The money will also ensure every school has air conditioning. The goal has been to keep class sizes at 26 students per classroom, but Riesgraf says schools have had to get creative, which includes using portable classrooms and alternating students' time in the classroom.
I mean, portables have saved us right now at a lot of our schools, and that's been probably the number one thing that has helped. 20 of our elementary schools are now year-round. We may have to have more elementary schools or perhaps middle schools go year-round. Having year-round schools helps us out a lot.
Riesgraf says surveys showed the district had public support for a $520 million bond, but the board was able to scale that back. She says that decision means the district will have to forego plans for new turf on 3 high school football fields and transportation facilities to support additional buses and staff. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Utah's Public Service Commission is meeting at the Capitol this week to discuss options for improving air quality along the Wasatch Front through the use of alternative energy vehicles. KUER's Nicole Nixon has more.
Earlier this year, the state legislature tasked the Public Service Commission to investigate how alternative energy vehicles can improve air quality along the Wasatch Front. Kevin Emerson of Utah Clean Energy was at the first of this week's hearings. He says electric vehicles are the best way to reduce emissions.
Electric vehicles eliminate 99% of the smog producing volatile organic compounds, or VOCs. They also reduce carbon monoxide and sulfur dioxide emissions.
Electric cars have virtually no tailpipe emissions. And since much of the bad air in Utah's urban areas comes from these emissions, Emerson says they're one of the best ways to clean up the air. He says state policymakers should promote the use of electric vehicles since they do less harm than gas-powered vehicles. He thinks electric vehicle owners should get a higher tax incentive.
Right now, the natural gas vehicle incentive is $2,500, and the electric vehicle incentive is $605. And so we think, because of the significant potential for air quality, that they should both be at the same level.
He also says the state should make it easier for cities and businesses to install charging stations and resell that electricity to electric car owners. Nicole Nixon, KUER News.
Utah County's Health Department Director wants police to ticket vehicles that leave a trail of black fumes from their tailpipes. Dr. Joseph Miner also wants to stop unnecessary idling at drive-in restaurants, banks, pharmacies, and schools. Local law enforcement agencies say their officers don't have time to issue tickets for tailpipe violations. Utah State Air Quality Board has endorsed an emissions and inspection program for Cache County, hoping to reduce winter air pollution that often exceeds federal standards. Wasatch Front counties have had the IM programs for years, but Cache Valley residents were hoping to avoid it. The board is also under pressure to come up with a plan to improve air quality in northern Utah's urban counties by year's end. It's already missed a deadline last year for submitting the state implementation plan. Industrial polluters are likely to be the target of new pollution controls, including the five oil refineries in Salt Lake and Davis counties, Kennecott Utah Copper, Hill Air Force Base, and Nucor Steel. The city council in Tooele is looking at a ban on electronic cigarettes in public places. It's concerned the vapor from the battery-operated cigarette substitutes might be toxic. A push to tax e-cigarettes like tobacco failed to pass the Utah legislature in its last session. Nine Granger High School football players have been ordered not to play by a juvenile court judge. They're facing various felony charges, including robbery and assault. West Valley Police Sergeant Jason Hauer says the nine were in a group that drove around the city the night of May 3rd, randomly assaulting and robbing other teenagers. One of the victims was treated for a broken jaw. Five have pleaded guilty, while the others have court hearings in September. Nine other players from Granger High were taken to the hospital to be treated for heat exhaustion. The incident occurred yesterday during a morning practice. Granite School District spokesperson Ben Horsley says the players were treated at the scene by paramedics and they were taken to the hospital only as a precaution. And finally, the United States Navy has funded 2 years of research at Utah State University to study the underwater adhesive properties of spider webs. It wants to determine whether that can be applied to Navy uses. The Office of Naval Research grant is about $173,000. And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, August 8th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org and follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.